Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. RSVP, the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program of Tulsa, is one of the oldest senior volunteer programs in the country. Founded in 1971 as a part of 11 national pilot programs, RSVP has remained one of the largest continuous volunteer efforts in the country. Over 1,000 active volunteers in Tulsa and two other metropolitan counties give time and effort to over 150 participating partner agencies. Some are as young as 55. Over 100 volunteers in the area are over 85, working in a variety of settings from hospitality to light clerical to outdoor volunteer work or mentoring or teaching a child to read. With approximately 10,000 baby boomers retiring each day nationwide, the potential volunteer pool is great, but the need for personal purpose of those volunteers and community impact is even greater. Joining me today to talk about RSVP is Karen Dill, the executive director of the organization. She joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Karen Dill, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate you having me here.
For those who are not familiar with RSVP, what is RSVP?
RSVP, the initials actually stand for Retired Senior Volunteer Program. I think that's kind of a misnomer. I've taken it upon myself to rearrange that a little bit, and I now call us resourceful, successful, valuable people enhancing our communities.
Uh-huh. And it is basically a volunteer program for people who have either just retired or senior citizens who still want to give back to the community.
And as you know, I informed you that I am a baby boomer, and senior is a relative term for us. I like the discounts, but I'm not the same type of senior my grandmother was. We find today that people 55 and over are active, engaged, passionate, committed, and willing to do what it takes to make the quality of life in their communities better and also enhance their quality of life.
So RSVP is providing how many volunteers to the community? And what is the community? Is it just Tulsa or is it the surrounding area?
We have right now approximately a little over 1,000 volunteers that are engaged with us. And they not only serve in Tulsa and the surrounding communities, we're also in Creek County and Wagner County.
And those 1,000 volunteers, what are they doing?
Anything from one-time special events, which is good for the not quite retired, to those that have passionate interests in traveling or sports or this type of thing. They can fit in community service to meet their schedule, to working at regular type positions in hospitals, in schools. In fact, if anybody's ever been out to the airport and seen those people at the information desks in their red jackets, every one of those is an RSVP volunteer. We've worked with that program with the airport for about 22 or 23 years now.
Mm-hmm.
We also have hospitality volunteers that work with the Chamber of Commerce for some of those special events that come to Tulsa that actually bring in revenue. The horse shows, big conferences. One of our first gigs with our hospitality ambassadors was Tokyo to Tulsa. I tried to explain to some of the volunteers that were going to participate.
So like a Comic-Con.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so blue people would not be abnormal. Okay. So they had the time of their lives, and they enjoy presenting Tulsa and our area to people that may not have ever been here before.
Mm-hmm. So a part of it is hospitality work. But is it working with nonprofits, like we're helping augment office staff and things like that, or what exactly?
We certainly do. We work with approximately 200 nonprofits or community agencies to help them free up time and resources so that their staff can serve more clients, more of the people that need the services that they provide. Also, like I said, we work in the schools, the hospitals. We work in animal rescue. We work with the garden center. If you've got a passion for something or an interest up with trees, we will find a place for you to volunteer.
Is it a matter of working with your partner agencies to find volunteers, or is it a matter of working with volunteers to find agencies that fits with their interests?
It's both. In fact, I like to refer us to us as a matchmaking agency. Of course, men run screaming, they get scared. But what we do is we match the person with their passions. We match the agency with the person that can serve them. So it's all about finding that right fit. You're not going to have a successful experience if you're not in the right place and you're not doing something that means something to you.
Once you place a volunteer, how long do they likely last in that position? If it's actually working with an agency, is it a matter of a couple of years or is it a lot longer?
It's up to them. We have volunteers that, when I mentioned the airport ambassador program has been in effect for 22, 23 years. We have volunteers that started with that program.
Wow.
So they develop relationships. When a volunteer is committed to your organization, they take ownership and they take pride in what you do and what they do to help you accomplish your mission.
How does the process work?
Well, we try and recruit volunteers. We do presentations. We do health fairs. We do resource fairs. We actually advertise. We have a little segment in the Vintage magazine.
Right.
And we try and reach out to where people that are 55 and over might be hearing our message. And then what we do is that is so different from a lot of ways that people volunteer by going online and what's 10 miles within my home or what does it have to do with, you know, oh, I like animals. Okay, do you like shoveling poop? Okay, you have to. We have a one-on-one interview. And so that we can figure out what it is that you are interested in, and we can give you other options that maybe you never thought about. We actually have volunteers at the OSU Health Science Center that work with the paleontologists. One of our volunteers actually went on a dig. We have volunteers that actually at one point in time, they were caregivers for songbirds. They were foster parents for songbirds. We have volunteers that reach out and never knew that they might be passionate about teaching a child to read. And we also have volunteers that when we talk to them, somebody wants to work a big special event. Well, they don't like people. That's not going to be a good fit for anybody.
Uh-huh.
So by having that personal connection, we're there to assist them along the way. And we don't just throw you into the position. We're there to confer with you, to answer questions, to act as your HR person and let you develop this. And you don't have to stick with one volunteer opportunity. We send out multiple emails listing new projects, new programs, where help is needed. It's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. What about your work with agencies? Is it to begin working with an agency, is it sort of a hard sell or is it an easy sell?
It's a pretty easy sell. When they find out about RSVP and they do their research on our program. If you're looking for quality volunteers, if you're looking for a quality agency to help you manage your volunteers, to help make your volunteer program stronger and more effective, you'll find that RSVP meets all of those needs for that agency.
How do you work with the partner agencies as far as, you know, working with them to find the right position for a particular volunteer?
We have a memorandum of understanding with our agencies, and we ask them what their needs are. We ask them to write job descriptions, just as if you were applying for a job.
Just as if you were going to have a new position, right?
Exactly. What are your expectations? What sorts of assignments will there be? What benefits are there to a volunteer that works with your agency? And we ask them point blank, why would somebody want to volunteer for this?
Mm-hmm.
What benefits does that give them?
And when you talk about benefits, you're talking about interpersonal relationships, sort of satisfaction of getting a job done,
interacting with people that are like-minded or meeting new people, developing new relationships. One of the most difficult things about aging and possibly retiring is you become more likely to become isolated. Your network of social connections shrinks. And more studies are coming out now that isolation and social isolation is detrimental to your health physically and mentally. Isolation leads to depression and one of the most startling statistics that I have read about and finding very true is the growing demographic of seniors committing suicide. Seniors, because they don't have those necessary supports and social connections.
Law, oftentimes, maybe their main social network was with their coworkers, as opposed to having strong social relations outside of work. Or just the fact as we age, we begin losing our friends. And then that sort of leads to some social isolation as well.
And so many people, there comes a point in your life where if you do have a spouse or a partner, we may turn into caregivers, or we may lose that significant portion of our life that we, you know, that we've depended on so long for companionship.
Yeah. So tell us about the people that seek you out. I mean, you say, you know, you have these avenues to let people know this opportunity exists. Who are the people that are seeking you out? Are they already retired for the most part and they thought, oh, I'm going to play golf or I'm going to travel, and then they traveled for a few months and then they go, now what do I do? Is it that sort of situation, or do you see people lining up volunteer opportunities before they retire?
Most of the time it's the former. Yeah. They have worked most of their lives and they think retirement, oh, I'm going to love this. I'm not responsible. I don't have to wake up to an alarm clock. I'm going to do everything that I want. And then after 2 or 3 months, it's like, okay, what do I do today? Oh, is today Tuesday or Saturday? You know, they're used to having a purpose. They're used to having connection with other people. And so it becomes kind of stressful for them. We've had people walk in that have just recently lost a spouse. And I had one woman, and she came in and she said, Karen, I'm lost. She said, we moved up here just a couple of years ago. My husband was still working, and he passed away suddenly. She said, I find myself sitting on the couch looking at the front door, waiting for him to come home.
Yeah.
And she said,
she has no social network because of her social networks were left in the previous city.
Exactly. Huh? She went to volunteer at St. Francis in their gift shop, and she worked during that 4 o'clock hour when she would be sitting home watching that door. She actually came to the office and came in and hugged me and said, Karen, you saved my life. Mm. And that is impactful. Yeah. I hear the stories. Another gentleman came to us, and he had lost his son. And how do you deal with losing a child? He said, I've shut myself off. I don't know what to do. I've got to keep busy. I'm not sleeping. I need something to take my mind off of it. And he went to work doing so many different things, helping others, working on projects, Habitat for Humanity, working with different agencies that could use his skills. He actually worked on helping people file their income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a former CEO.
Right. My guest today is Karen Dill, Executive Director of RSVP. RSVP, the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program of Tulsa. They offer about a little over 1,000 total number of active volunteers and recruit about another 200 to 300 each year, helping out in the community. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. They'll be having a gala fundraiser on July 21st and offering their leadership award to help shore up funds for the organization that works with a wide range of nonprofits. You've already mentioned quite a number of them. What about the benefits to the partner organizations? Do you hear from them often about the impact that your volunteers are having in their nonprofit?
Oh, all the time. Community Action Project. We have two volunteers that they have made family. They're the ones that do all the security badges and name tags for the schools. We also have another group of volunteers that we call the A-Team. And when you think of the A-Team, we're talking the senior SWAT team.
Senior SWAT team.
Senior SWAT. Okay, we're not with weapons, okay? Yeah. But a lot of agencies rely on fundraising and garnering donations. And that requires sending out communications, newsletters, requests for donations, capital campaigns. the man hours that go into the thousands and thousands of mailings that this entails. Our A team, our SWAT team, gets in there, and within just a few hours or a couple of days, they will take care of this for you. And you have saved untold dollars and time and resources by having them do this. In fact, Union Public Schools, their elementary schools, every year for back to school, our A team puts together their back to school packets.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Teachers can concentrate on curriculum. They can concentrate on getting their classrooms ready. They can concentrate on supplies. And it's a great social opportunity for the A team. And it's flexible. We'll meet for 5 days for the union back to school packets. We're doing something for the YWCA this next week. We do Up With Trees. All of these agencies are able to focus their skills and their time and their talents on serving the community and meeting their mission, because we're there to do that type of thing.
You know, for many years, we had our own little volunteer group that would come in and do our mailings. And what was really interesting was the amount of social interaction that was going on, the conversations. It was, as a, executive director, I was very happy to do the mailing for an hour to just enjoy the conversation and interact with the volunteers.
I find excuses when they're at our office to go in there and visit with them.
Yeah.
We also have another group that is pretty unique. They're the Knittin' Kittens. Knittin' Kittens. And we range in age from 18 to going to be 98.
Wow.
And the reason we have an 18-year-old Knittin' Kitten is when she was 15, she was homeschooled, and she read an article about them. And she called up to the office and said her nickname was Cat and that the kittens needed a cat. And she and her mother have been coming. She went away to college this year, and for summer break, she came back to visit.
And what are the Knittin' Kitten? I assume they're making woolens?
Hats, scarves. Every year, we do over 1,000 hat and scarf sets.
For the homeless?
Not just for the homeless. This is for Educare. It is for the Head Start program. We also do lap robes.
For anybody who needs winter's gear.
Gear. Also, we do fingerless mitts for patients going through dialysis and therapies where they're sitting and it might be cold. They do Afghans for the veterans. I mean, we work with veterans. We have volunteers at the coffee bunker. We have started a Tai Chi program taught by volunteers that trained with us to work in recovery with 12 and 12. We're starting now a new project educating seniors on opioid addiction. Uh-huh. And we'll be talking to seniors because if you look at statistics, opioid addiction or misuse impacts seniors in a large fashion. And also educating them, unfortunately, we see people take advantage of seniors, and possibly a friend or relative may know that somebody that's on a strong medication, and that medication disappears.
Yeah. I think when people think of RSVP, they think of a lot of the opportunities you've talked about, greeting at the airport, maybe working at a hospital in a gift shop or something like that. But for, some people who've really worked in high-powered business, maybe they've been executives, are there opportunities that really take advantage of maybe their unique skill set? And I think maybe it's a situation where they think of the RSVP and volunteer opportunities as being at one level, but I would imagine there are all sorts of levels that, if you have a CEO, he may be a mentor to an executive at a nonprofit.
Exactly. We've done that in the past. We also have had requests from agencies to find board members to help them support their agency. And this is where those high-level skills, those executive skills, can really be of benefit to the community. We have had some of our volunteers help set up websites. We have had volunteers, lawyers, that have taken on work with nonprofits to help with guidance and support.
Pro bono work, basically.
Pro bono work. We have physicians. One of our physicians is working with one of our agency's faces, and they're in a med ed program where they travel around and they talk to groups of students, especially on the issues of domestic violence and partner relationships and dating situations, and they educate the students who are going to become the educators.
Yeah. My guest today is Karen Dill. She's the executive director of RSVP, the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program of Tulsa. I guess you're always looking for volunteers, correct?
We are.
Let me ask you a quick question. Right now, the baby boomer generation is retiring at massive rates. And as they prepare to retire, I was thinking about as you're preparing to retire, what are some of the things you should be thinking about as you enter this next phase of your life? I mean, you see a lot of folks who are coming in who have retired and going, what am I going to do? So what are some of the issues they should be thinking about as they prepare to retire?
When you prepare to retire, you have to remember that you're used to possibly a more rigid schedule. You're used to being accountable. You're used to having interaction with people on most days. One of the things I hadn't mentioned to you before, but we save marriages. Yep. We had. We've had several wives drag husbands.
Just find something for him to do.
And one case is that two of our amazing volunteers, she dragged him in there. She said, "You're signing up for this." She said, "I'm tired of you watching, you know, MSNCB, NBC on TV on your recliner." He said, "What if I watch CNN?" She said, "No." Okay. So now he's at the cancer treatment center. He is working with a blind couple once a month to help them write their checks to pay their bills and to help them reconcile their bank statement. He is also caring for the finances of several veterans and as acting as their fiduciary guardian, basically. So remember, it's nice when you're on vacation and it's nice when you have some holidays, but when it's every day.
And I assume you have to figure out how much you want to volunteer. Is it a matter of a couple times a week? Is it an everyday thing for maybe 3 or 4 hours? Or I would imagine there's some who say, put me to work full time.
We do have volunteers that put in over 40 hours a week. Uh-huh. And then we have volunteers that are still helping with grandchildren or they're traveling. And they say, I don't want to commit to volunteering because I can't be there all the time. Well, I'm sorry. You know what? You're a volunteer. It's not like I'm going to cut your pay if you take a vacation. You're probably not going to get a bonus either. Okay. But what we let them know is that the volunteer position is structured around what you're capable of doing, what you want to do. It's not to be a punishment. This is to be an enhancement of your life. And the sheer power that you feel inside when you know you've done something that enhances your community, makes Tulsa, Creek County, Wagner, Broken Arrow, Jinx, Bixby, Owosso, all of these places, better places to live.
I'm going to ask you, do you often find or occasionally find that you lose your volunteers because they've gone back into the workforce in the area that they've volunteered?
Yes, we had one, but they don't forget us. We had one volunteer that was working for Susan G. Komen as a volunteer, and they hired her.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in today's economic climate, seniors may have to work part-time longer in order to afford to retire, to have the quality of life they would like to have.
Yeah. How do people learn about RSVP?
We are trying to get the word out, and we're starting to do a better job of it. A lot of it is word of mouth. Our volunteers telling other people, referring other people, and we actually are now having some medical professionals that are referring people to us. When they see people that are going through possibly changes in depression and this type of thing, they send people to RSVP. Mm-hmm. They're recognizing the value.
And then you sit down and interview them, find out what their interests are, what sort of, and then you sort of match them with an agency?
And it's up to them, too. We'll throw out a few things, and they'll tell us what they like. And we like I said, we matchmake, and we're that kind of a all-encompassing superstore. It's like going to a store where you can get peanut butter and tires. You can get it all here at RSVP. And your interests may change over time. You may want to do something this year, but move on to something else next year.
Do you find a lot of volunteers do move around from position to position?
That, and what they do is they may have a steady position, but they see certain things that come up that may be one-time special events, or they may be, we have a group that does the Tulsa Tough. They do a rest station. Uh-huh. They're part of our A team, and they just took that on as something they wanted to do once a year. So you just have the opportunity to see what's out there, because we present you with the needs. And all of a sudden, oh, well, I never thought that I would like to be a rest station for Tulsa Tough. I never thought that I wanted to foster songbirds. I never thought that, oh, wow, if I just give 1 hour a week, I can be with reading partners and teach a child to read.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's hard to just, when you're thinking about volunteering, you don't realize that it runs a gamut from, a few hours to I want to commit so many hours a week or month to an organization. And why don't I pick up something fun? We have volunteers that do Mayfest. Mm-hmm. We have volunteers that do Oktoberfest.
Yeah. What's the best way for people to get in touch with RSVP if they're interested in volunteering, or they know somebody who might have an interest in volunteering?
Just go to our website.
RSVP?
www.rsvptulsa.org.
All right.
There's an application you can fill out online. If you're not so computer savvy, we have paper applications. Call our office, 918-280-8656. Come on by. We'll set up an appointment time, fill out the application, and we'll get you started.
Of course, you have a big gala coming up at the end of July, July 21st. What's going on that evening?
We have an annual gala that we have. Our basic theme is somewhere in time. So every year, RSVP travels somewhere in time. This year, we're going back to the Wild Wild West, and we're just thrilled to have the support of the community, and we're always looking for sponsors. We'll have a country western band. We'll be at River Spirit Casino and Resort. There's going to be great food. We have a silent auction. We have a
live auction. Do you recognize some of the volunteers that have done exemplary work?
We actually have a volunteer showcase where a couple of our volunteers talk about why they go through RSVP, why they volunteer, what it means to them. And we're presenting a leadership award to Claudia Mayling, who was RSVP executive director for many years. And we're thrilled to have Sharon King Davis as our honorary chair. And Lisa Johnson, who has agreed to be our chair this year. We thank them for their commitment.
All right. RSVP, rsvptulsa.org for more information on them. Karen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. I really appreciate it.
Karen Dill is the executive director of RSVP, the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program of Tulsa. For more information about the organization, you can visit rsvptulsa.org or call 918-280-8656. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.